Doc, let me suggest I check you on this one. When I announce the television show address tomorrow night, they're then going to want to know about the Monday schedule in Texas.
I would say that I told Bundy to tell you this, and I guess he never gets through to you. I told him to review what happened this morning and say that the president would meet with the leadership Monday afternoon and with the cabinet Tuesday, and he would be in the Capitol those 2 days.
Well, that's okay. Mac's doing a memo for him. He said an effort that would cover everything. So that's all right then, sir.
So that's what it will be. We do not want any special alarm, but we do have matters that need to be attended to. We have a new government in Russia, a new government in Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one bomb that's gone off and another bomb that may go off. And we have these task force that are getting ready to come in, some of their recommendations. I've got this group that's working with me on international affairs, and I don't know whether he'll say it, but I'm going to try to get them in Wednesday morning, perhaps,
right,
and campaign afterwards. But we'll have the John McCloy's and that group on international affairs. Monday, we'll have the Security Council. I'll meet with them tomorrow again on Sunday as a further study of these conditions in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I plan to see the British ambassador, Mac Bundy, get him to check that, so when you announce these, you announce his appointment.
Right.
Come in tomorrow, Monday. I'm going to see the leadership. That's the speaker in that group in the Foreign Relations Armed Services Corporation. I'll have the cabinet Tuesday, if we can find any of them. Wednesday, I'll have this group of international experts, McCloy, and those advisors. And then I will probably keep my schedules Wednesday afternoon and Thursday and Friday. And I believe I'm in Washington one of those days.
Right.
You'll get that tentative schedule, keep it on your desk. It shows, though, the great error we make in announcing these things in advance. And I think that you're going to have to say, boys, you ought to have a White House meet if you've got to know 8 days in advance. Because when we announce in advance, we have to start arresting every nut in the country. That's the first thing we have to do. The second thing we have to do, we cannot be free to change our plans as we must, because then you've got us canceling and you've got a lot of people mad. So we just, we don't want to give you 8 days notice here. So you can get your shirt packed, but go water can go pack our audiences with signs and things of that kind. And this just hounded me to death, and you don't get paid for it, and you don't satisfy them. It doesn't.
This is Lockheim calling Mrs. Roberts. Tell me.
Go Sunday night, and you ought to have enough time to get you an airplane, but you're just destroying us by going into all that crap. We're going to have to cut out on it. I guess we've already announced everything now.
No, we just announced through Monday, sir.
I've been reading where we're going to be in Pittsburgh, back in the Madison Square Garden, and I think they've got a good deal of our schedule.
Well, they get that from the Bureau, sir. Those are all announced locally. We have not announced a single thing beyond Dallas.
Now, Dallas is having big, elaborate ceremonies. What do you think? How do you think the Jenkins thing's rolling?
I think that up to this point, it's going pretty well.
I think you have three things that you've got to stress, and I would see 20 people a day off the record background, more than you ever have, ask them to come in and just say, I want to talk to you about how things are going. I think the first thing is that I said definitely, Secret Service admits, they didn't tell Kennedy, and they didn't tell Ken O'Donnell, and certainly they didn't tell me as vice president. When all they got was this suspicious charge, he hadn't been convicted of anything, he hadn't been tried of anything, and he had a Q clearance, so they filed it. Now, in retrospect, that's a mistake. But that clears it up that I didn't know it at all until they told me, and I got his resignation.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, after I heard about it, when I got back from Ms. Kennedy's, within an hour, I had his resignation and a new man appointed. So I acted promptly and had Hoover's, had FBI on the phone with agents already out interviewing people within an hour. And I don't know what more a man can do after that. And number three, that you can't say it, but that from what you know about the office, while it wasn't anything we wouldn't have shown, that he never did consider any intelligence material when it's taken to him. He told him that's not his department, and he was very sensitive about handling anything that belonged to Bundy. That his primary duty was seeing people that couldn't see me, that were old friends, legislative matters, and generally trying to keep the personnel assigned and the routing the material here as an administrative person, that he was not a foreign policy expert, and he had nothing to do with it, although he had access to it. And that there's no indication from Secretary of State, Defense, any of them, that either had associations or interest or even discussions of it. Now, those three points. One, that I couldn't have known about it. Two, that I acted as promptly as I could, got rid of it in an hour, which is all I know him about. And third, that while he had a few clearance, he was a colonel in Goldwater's company, and he traveled all over the country with him, that there's never any indication that he had a chance to handle or did handle anything. He did come in and out of the Security Council with notes for me. He did even make notes for me at times, but it was usually just briefings, and there's no policy decisions. He never did even participate in Bundy. The only staff people that have ever participated in any decisions have been Bundy and Bromley Smith. Now, they want to know why you weren't cleared again when we came over here. I told him to clear everybody. Don't let anybody come here. And I think you can say that we, outside of just the clerical people, which don't have classified material, that we had four people, and Walter felt that he had been cleared. He was one that was told to clear them in 62. She'd been working for the Space Council, and see when the last study was made of the Civil Service or FBI.
Right. We're checking that now, sir.
Huh?
We're checking that out now, sir.
And then Bill Moyer and Jack Mulaney were both there. So those were the four people that really came in, and they were checked. Now the question is, should we set up a procedure, check them every 6 months, every year? I guess we can wait till the election, but it looks like they expect you to check them every year.
Well, I think that, what does Mr. Hoover say about that? He might have some,
Now, I think this report ought to come out saying I knew nothing about it. I think you can leak it ahead of time. Bill did a pretty good job with the New York Times, one or two others. But I think you can leak it ahead of time to each individual, like the Coles papers and the Copley papers and the others, Script Howard. But I think if Hoover ought to release it instead of us, I don't know how I'd get him to do it, because he never does release reports. But I think it ought to show that I couldn't have known about it, didn't know about it, that the man from the psychiatrist just had a breakdown. I ought to quote pretty liberally from the psychiatrist. I can't find anybody that knew him that had anything but good things to say about him. The third thing is absolutely no security involved.
Right.
Have they interviewed you about him?
Yes, sir. At length yesterday. And I gave him an honest interview, which is very easy to do with Walter, because...
Keep all the day out there with her, bragging on them as much as you can.
Right.
The morale up.
Right, that I shall do.
Anything else you need to know?
No, sir. Do you know, incidentally, have you been told the Bulletin is going to endorse you Monday, Philadelphia Bulletin?
I've heard that. I don't know whether anybody will endorse me more.
I was told that directly, sir.
By whom?
Tony Day.
Who is Tony Day?
He's their bureau man, one of their bureau men here in Washington. But he said it's flat, that it's editorial's written, all set up and everything else. He's going to try to get me an advanced copy if he gets back from Philadelphia tomorrow, but he didn't think he'd get back till Monday.
Well, you try your best to let your AP and your UP and your Chicago Daily News and the rest of them know without knowing it's yourself or anything that these facts that Secret Service Dylan said on the ticker today that they didn't notify us.
No.
And when you ask them why, they'll give you plausible reasons that this man had acute clearance and he didn't say anything about a sex charge. He said under suspicion and he hadn't been convicted. And all of us have been charged with things. I'm charged by Haley with being a murderer. No conviction. And they write pretty dangerous stuff when the Chicago Tribune says he's been convicted. But if we can get that pretty well implanted in the people's mind ahead of time, it would be awfully helpful.
Right.
I don't know how to implant it, but you'll have to figure it out. I hope you can do it now. Has Doug Keeter been checked?
Oh, I do not know, sir.
He sure ought to be in these security council meetings if he's not. Okay.